You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
We got Breaking Bad Habits again, and I'm super excited about that. And we've done 3 weeks now. This is the fourth week of Breaking Bad Habits, and I'll tell you what, been a good service, good series so far, hasn't it? Last week, Christian Walk got up here. Christian Walk, the lawyer man, he lawyered us all up here, and talking about not residing in fear, but rising in faith. That's a good word, wasn't it? A good word for you. Good word for you guys. Good word for all y'all, wasn't it? Don't reside in fear. That's a bad habit. It's a bad habit that the moment something happens, the first thing we think about is, I'm dead. This is going to ruin me. No, man, I want to think, man, I'm going to beat the snot out of this thing, right? I'm going to win this thing, amen? In fact, at the other end of it, life's going to be better than it was before because God says that I will make all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord, amen? That includes the thing that gives us fear. Praise God, rise in faith. Today, I want to talk to you about something else, but first I want to ask you, do you want to be transformed by the power of the gospel? Come on, do you want to be transformed by the power of God in your life? Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Come on, who wants to stay the same in here? Good, I'm glad there was no response to that. Come on, who wants to change? Who wants to grow? Who wants to get better? Who wants to be better today than last year? Who wants to not need a New Year's to get better? Amen? Man, if I could only fix myself on New Year's, I'd be worse today than I was when I was born. Because I tend to ruin all my New Year's things. Remember this year, I decided I'm not going to have Coke starting January 3rd, not 1st. Remember that? Man, I'm drinking more Coke today than I've drunk in my life. I drink about 7 of those suckers a day now. I'm walking around like this all the time. Hey, yo, what's up, you know? And so New Year's, man, if it was only up to New Year's resolutions to better myself, I'd be 10 times worse today than I was when I was born. I thank God that I don't need to wait for New Year's to better myself. I don't have to wait to New Year's to grow spiritually, amen? I don't have to wait for New Year's to become a better dad than I was last year. I can become a better dad on Monday than I was on Saturday, amen? I can mess it up on Saturday and say, no more, not doing that again, amen? And I can turn to God in His presence and say, renew my mind, God. Who wants to stay the same? Nobody. Some people do though. Nobody in here. Some people are happy to stay the same. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. You know that old song? Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. No! That's crap. That's not how I want to live. I'm believing God for more, for bigger, for better, for new. Amen. God does a new thing every morning. Some people don't want to be their best. They're not interested in legacy or generations or the future. They just want to live each day the same as the last, living for today's excitement. Last week, Christian talked about Matthew 6, who by worrying can add another moment to your life. Man, they took that to the extreme, some people, and they replaced worry with care. Who by caring about anything can add a day to your life? Like, come on now, it says who by worrying, stress, anxiety. Scripture talks about casting your anxieties on the Lord, right? But you got to care about what's going on. You want to be better. Scripture talks over and over and over about growing in our faith, about believing for more, about accumulating, about doing more for the gospel and for the kingdom and for our families, amen? So I don't want to live a life where que sera, sera, whatever will be, is how it is. I knew a guy when I was growing up that took that scripture to the extreme. So he didn't have a job. He told me Jesus is coming back one day. I'm like, yeah, but he won't be able to find you because you're hidden under a rock. He's always, I don't care about anything. God will take care of it. I'm like, man, you're pretending you got faith, but you're the laziest son of gun I ever met in my life. My dad offered him a job about 5 times. Get a job, mate. But he would do nothing with his life and always quote, I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to worry about it. And then all the time coming to church and asking for food. That people who had jobs tithed and bought the food. Amen? Who knows that we can't just sit back and say, whatever will be, will be. I want to do more. I want to believe God for more. Amen? I want to be better tomorrow than I was yesterday. I desire to be more. I desire to do more. I desire to be better. Scripture says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation infers change. It is a transformation, right? Transformation means change. You could replace that word transform with change. Be changed by the renewal of your mind. I want to be transformed. I want to grow in my faith, in my knowledge of the Word of God, in my obedience to His plans. And most of all, I want to be more like Christ. Anybody else? Come on, who wants to be more like Christ in here, yeah? I want to be more like Christ. Come on, let's pray. God, we want to be like Jesus. We don't want to stay the same. We know we're all on our own journeys and we're at different moments in our lives and different victories and different issues. But God, none of us want to be the same next year as we are today. None of us want to be the same at the end of this year than we are today. God, help us to be transformed in your presence by your power. God, I want to be able to say every single day of my life, thank God I'm not what I used to be. Help me be what you've called me to be. Amen. Amen. Someone say amen if that's for you. So this whole series is about not staying the same. It is, isn't it? Breaking bad habits. No case, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, will be. Well, I've always been a drunk. I guess I just will stay one. No. No. Let's get better, amen? Let's ask God to do something miraculous in our lives, amen? Let's not judge each other. Let's not feel like we're lowly and unworthy because we have an issue, but let's go to God and understand that God cares about that problem, that God cares about that thing that's bringing pain and hurt into your life, and say, God, help me, transform me in Jesus' name, amen? God cares. This whole thing is about not staying the same, not just existing, not just doing something because we've always done the something, but asking, but looking to God and saying, God, is this thing good for me? God, is there anything in my life that's not good for me? Is there something that you can change, that you can transform in my life to bless me, to bless my family, my church, my community, amen? So today I want to talk to you about the symptoms of living a self-centered life. Nobody's excited about that. Y'all are like, what? I didn't come to church for this. I come to church to be told I'm freaking awesome. You are freaking awesome, by the way. Just if that's what you come here for, I'll give you a dose of that too. You're freaking awesome. God says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, that He knit you together in your mother's womb, that He had plans for you before time began. You better believe you're awesome. God Himself breathed the breath of life into your lungs. Yeah, you're awesome. But let's talk about what happens if you live a life that is all about me. You could call this sermon, Jesse, Be the Center. But replace my name with yours. Steve, be the center. Every time I say something as church, if I need a name, I always say Steve, don't I? I apologize to any Steves that come here. We do love you. Be the center. You know the old song, Jesus Be the Center? Who knows that song? It's a very old song. Jesus Be the Center. We could be singing sometimes, Jesus Be the Center. Maybe Jesus be a little bit off-center, actually. You know, the center, that's a bit rough. Like, that's the center, like, that means everything revolves around you. So maybe we could just put you a little bit almost center, God, but a little bit off center, so you could revolve around me. That'd be a little cooler, right? Anyone, you know, and if you ever looked at your life and gone, yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now. You ever thought that? I have. You know, we can be honest, I have. Like even this year. Yeah, I'm not talking like way back when I was a sinner like some of y'all. No, I mean like even this year, there's been moments where I've gone, man, I'm the center right now, aren't I? I'm what my life is all about right now, and I'm what I think theirs should be about. Jesus, please be the center. Sometimes I reckon Jesus wants to respond, I'd like to be the center, but I'm going to have to shove your big butt out of the way before I can move in, right? That's what Jesus is saying sometimes. I want to tell you, though, how to recognize when you're the center and Jesus isn't the center, but you're the center, or something else in your life is the center that's not Jesus, is a spirit of complaint. Uh-oh. Complaining. A lifestyle of complaint. Complaining about everything that frustrates us. Everything that's a little bit annoying because I'm the center. And so this thing is frustrating me out here. And it's not just that it's frustrating me, but because I'm the center, y'all need to know about it so y'all can fix it so that I can be the center again. You know, I freaking hate dishes, by the way. When I was in college, you know, like dishes, like washing dishes, you know, like the great, not just the grandma, but the great, 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 great grandpa hands you get when you do the dishes. You know, the ones, like, I hate that feeling. It's awful. When I was in college, we bought every month about 600 plates, cups and knives and forks. If you're an environmentalist in here, I recommend you block your ears for a moment, all right? But we would buy about 600 of everything. We had three guys living in the house. And at the start of the week, we'd cook up everything we needed for the week. We'd freeze it in stuff. And then we'd, all through the week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, we'd have spaghetti bolognese for that week, right? And every meal, and then we'd put out a big, like, newspaper tablecloth, and we'd eat on it, and in the end, we'd roll everything up, the plates, the knives, the cups, the forks, we'd roll it all up and throw it in the trash, because I hated dishes, and that was my idea of how to solve that problem. It solved the problem. It did, didn't it? The reason that I, sometimes, by the way, rarely, I'll have to complain about dishes, not really because of I complain rarely, but because rarely do I ever even have to do them. Right? We have a dishwasher, and sometimes there's too much for the dishwasher, and usually my wife takes care of it, or I'm not there or something like that. And I don't mean my wife because women have to before y'all write me emails, all right? I'm not saying that, okay? Just saying it's just what tends to happen at my home, all right? Can we, someone say move on? All right, I'll move on from that before, anyway. And so then sometimes, I hear you. So sometimes I'll then be like, oh, freaking dishes. So I'll like complain about it. Like, because I had to do it once in 2 weeks or once a month. And I'll complain about it. Why? This house revolves around me. Why should I have to do it? Y'all are making me uncomfortable, wife and kids. Do what I want. I want you to do the dishes and rub my feet too, right? Spirit of complaint. Acting like the world revolves around me. Acting like my house revolves around me, right? You know what I'm saying? Come on, who's done it? Come on, who's done it? No one's willing to put their hands up now about that, right? The reason we complain is because it's not just that we feel that the world revolves around us. It's that we want them to know, hey, this isn't exactly how I want it to be. And if I'm the center, it ought to be how I want it to be, right? Right? If someone's the boss and the center, right? See, at church, I'm the lead pastor. So it tends to go the direction I want it to go, right? And so because usually somebody is in charge or something like that. And so in our lives, if we want to be in charge of every single area of our lives, Jesus isn't the center, but we are, we get frustrated. And we tell everybody else how they need to make my life happen how I want it to happen. This place isn't working for me because it's not about me. So when I'm complaining about the dishes, I'm making sure that my wife knows this place isn't going how I want it to go. I shouldn't have to do frustrating things. I'm wrong. And the more I understand grumbling, complaining, whining, the more I understand that a spirit of complaint or a lifestyle of complaining is in fact a lifestyle of sin. A lifestyle of complaint, a lifestyle of complaining is a lifestyle of sin. I don't want to live a lifestyle of sin. Anybody else? Come on, who wants to do that? I don't. Anybody else? I don't want to live like that. I want to live a life of freedom. Amen. A life of favor, amen. A life of blessing, amen. That's the kind of life I want to live. Praise God, I'm still saved in my sin and in my struggle and in my wrong. I thank God that His grace and His mercy overlooks that, amen. Because I fall into it sometimes. But I don't want it to be a lifestyle, because life is a gift from God. And complaining is an offense to Him. Look at Israel. They're starving hungry. So they go to Egypt to find food. And they find food and they're grumbling. And then they're put into slavery. And they're grumbling, of course, right? Some things are worth talking about. Yo, we're slaves. It ain't cool, right? So they're talking about that. Then they get freedom. And then, right, God delivers them from the most powerful army on earth, right? On earth. And they don't have an army. They're just a bunch of dudes and chicks and kids. That's all it was, right? And they escape from the most powerful nation on earth. But then they come up against some water and an army. Great God, you brought us out here to die. That's what they have to say to God, who just delivered them from the most powerful nation on earth. So He gives them freedom again, opens up the river, which then drowns those that were oppressing them, and then they grumble. It's too hot out here. When will we get there? They're like kids. We there yet? We there yet? We there yet? We there yet? Where's the food? Can we stop at McDonald's? Can we stop at McDonald's? Can we stop at McDonald's? There's Hungry Jack's. Sorry, there's... What's it called? Burger King. Man, I went blank. In Australia, Burger King is called Hungry Jack's. And they have this subliminal message in their ads, and at the end of it, it always whispers, the burgers are better at Hungry Jack's. It's like evil or something. Where's Hungry Jack's, God? They're getting mad at Him. Where's the direction, God? So you know what? God sends them burgers from heaven. There's burgers coming from the sky. There's meat and bread. That's a burger, right? Am I right? Meat and bread. Is that a burger or what, right? There's burgers coming from heaven. Have you ever had a burger fall out of the sky that your friend didn't throw at you? Ever in your life? Israel wandering around, burgers from heaven, and then they're complaining again. Do you know why they're complaining now? Number one, it's a freaking miracle when a burger falls out of the sky. Enough to feed a whole country, right? That's a freaking miracle. Can someone agree with me here? Can someone give me an amen? Yep, good. That's a miracle. If you've got miraculous burgers falling from heaven, you don't then turn around to God and say, I'm sick of these burgers. I want some Chick-fil-A. You don't do that. But that's what these guys did. Where's the Chick-fil-A at now, God? Is this all we're ever going to eat? Hungry Jacks from heaven falling out of the sky? It's time for something else. So they grumbled and they grumbled and they grumbled. Ain't no wonder they spent so long wandering around that desert, right? Tell you what, my kids are like that. They're going to spend a whole lot longer wandering around that desert. I ain't going to send burgers. Scripture says they're grumbling, offended God. If Israel was your friend, Israel's the friend that has a beautiful home but complains about having to clean it. They've got a beautiful big home, but they're the ones that complain about, oh, it's so hard to keep clean. That's all they talk about. That's it. It's not an occasional thing. That's all they talk about. That's Israel. Israel's the friend that you just gave a brand new car to, but they complain that it's a V8, so it sucks too much gas, and you should probably pay for that too. That's Israel was that friend. Israel's the friend who just fell off the building. They died. You gave them CPR, and then they sued you for breaking a rib. That was the friend that Israel was. That's them, right? You picture that? No wonder it offended God, right? It offended God, just like it offends you. Don't we complain about funny things? Like, seriously. Like, we go somewhere that has free Wi-Fi. We complain it's too slow. It's freaking free. It didn't cost you anything. And you're writing notes. You know what the suggestion box at the front for is really for? Dinner was great, thank you. They don't want to hear the free Wi-Fi sucks. It's free. The drive-through line is too long. It is 110 degrees outside. You don't even have to get out of your car. But the line's too long. And that's what you're focused on? I'm focused on, I freaking love America. I don't have to get out of my car for anything. I'm trying to find a way to do drive-in church. It is awesome in America. I can get my drugs, my legal drugs, without getting out of the car. I can put money in the bank through a suction tube. But the line's too long. Oh my gosh. Oh, I have to walk. I can't have people over for dinner. I can't serve at church because I have a 40-hour-a-week job. Seriously? Oh, wow. You get to eat. Congrats. You get to pay the mortgage. You get to live. You've got a 40-hour... I mean, when I hear people complaining about their 40-hour-a-week job, I'm not saying I work more or less. I'm just saying, you have a job. You have a job. Yay! Come on, someone say yay! You have a job. Oh, I can't live life because I have a job. Yeah, because billions of other people don't. You're the first one. Or weather. It's so hot. I wish it was winter. And in 5 months, your Facebook will say, it's so cold. I wish it was summer. And somebody's going to slap you. We get to January and it's really stinking cold, right? Like, it's really cold. You act like you didn't know it was coming. The names in the preceding months tell you it's coming. October, November, December. Come on now. Y'all knew it was coming. It's going to be just fine. This is one of my favorites. People get divorced over somebody leaving up a freaking toilet seat. It's a toilet seat. You're complaining about a toilet seat. Watch this. Fixed. It took me 0.2 seconds to fix your biggest problem. Just knock it down. All good. Typos and grammatical errors. At the end of your life, you're probably going to regret all the time you wasted obnoxiously pointing out an accidental your or your. Unless you actually taught someone who didn't know the difference in proper use, in which case you're awesome. But like every single one, we know. We just auto-corrected or didn't care. Or you complain about clingy people. They're too clingy. They like me too much. Some people have zero friends, and yours just want to be with you all the time. They actually like you. My friends don't even like me, right? Yours want to hang around you. This is my favorite one. Waking up in the morning. There is another option. You won't like it. Or hangovers. When I see people complaining about hangovers, I have like zero sympathy. It is like stabbing yourself in the hand and Facebooking about how unfair it is that your hand hurts. Kind of dumb, right? Amen? Or kids? I can't go to church on time because I've got kids. I can't get to work on time because I've got kids. What? You're like the first person to ever have them. The rest of us all came out of trees. We grew on a tree. My gosh, you had one. That is amazing. But Pastor Jesse, you don't understand. I'm the only one that's ever had a baby. Okay. Good job. Good job. We need to write a book about you. And then obviously complaining about people who complain. And we may have just done that for half an hour. Sorry about that. Did you know some people in the Bible actually had Facebook? Did you know that? They had Facebook back then. Let's have a look at some. Elijah, he had a Facebook. No, Elijah. 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 There we go. I just want to die. Done. Not like you care. You know, there was a time in Elijah's life where he was just winning, 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 and he's like, I just want to die. That's what would be Facebook post for that, right? Not like you care. Honestly, your passive-aggressive attempt for attention, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Just leave it alone, all right? We care, but the hashtag made us not care. All right, move on. Who we got now? Delilah. It'd be nice if some people wouldn't say, I love you, and then lie to your face. Poor girl. I understand. Samson kept telling her that he loved her, and then he kept lying about where he gets his strength from. And then she'd try it, and it wasn't true. Poor girl, right? That's what she would have written on her Facebook. Actually, she did. Sorry, we found it. Judas Iscariot. Having dinner with Jesus. I love it when people waste money that could have been spent feeding the poor. Hashtag not really. So you thought it was a new thing, people complaining all day on Facebook. It's been happening for years. These are actual exact representations of the stones we found. And so, very exciting. A lot of angry faces on that one. Somebody liked it. That person's going to hell. But let's be serious right now. But let's be serious. It makes me sad when everybody is celebrating on Facebook and others are grumbling about their celebrations. Right? Now, I've had a couple of conversations with people, and it's all right. I have permission to talk. It's funny and stuff. But, like, it's funny, like, when the fireworks were going off, right? You know what I'm talking about? Like, what was going on that night? Like, a bunch of people were celebrating, right? And now, some were bozos for sure, right? Some people were for sure annoying, right? But do you really want to be the person that when everybody's celebrating, your Facebook is consumed with frustration and complaint? Do you really want to be that person, right? Now, I know it's okay to complain sometimes, but do you really want to be that person that is complaining not only when they're celebrating, but about their celebration? Do you really want to be that person? Some of y'all are like, I am that person, woohoo! I want to tell you what the Bible says you should do in those moments. Are you ready for it? Romans 12:15. Rejoice and celebrate with those who rejoice and celebrate. How about those apples? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Life is so much easier when you just rejoice with people. You know when you can be Debbie Downer? When somebody's really sad and something bad happened and you can go and mourn with them, Scripture says. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. If you're in the middle, go left. Celebrate. Right? Celebrate. Imagine the Facebook post of Jesus' neighbors when he turned water into wine. Hashtag not even savior. Hashtag too loud next door. For real, right? So some people would be Facebooking about then. It's like the savior of the world is next door and did a miracle, and all you want to do is debate over if the wine made people drunk. I'm kind of focused on the freaking miracle that water just turned into wine. That's cool, right? I'm going to celebrate that. On my hashtag is going to be, water just turned into wine. And like 100 times, water just turned into wine. Water just turned into wine. I'm going to tell everybody about that. Now, of course, there is times for everything. Like when your neighbor parties every single night and you have babies and you got to go and sort out stuff sometimes, right? But I'm talking about a lifestyle of complaint. Do you really want to be the person that complains about everything that upsets or annoys you? If I was to complain about everyone and everything that annoys me, I'd get a stomach ulcer. And so would all the poor souls that have to listen to me. But I don't, because complaining, grumbling, and whining are not fruits of a spirit-filled life. Galatians 5 will talk all about it. And these things are not the fruit of the Spirit. And sadness comes in my heart when I read people's Facebook statuses or their Twitter statuses or even just having a conversation with someone, because I'm old-fashioned and still actually have face-to-face with people sometimes. And it doesn't get sad because I think they're an idiot. It gets sad because, and it's not because I'm offended or that it even annoys me that they're complaining all the time, but I'm saddened because people are so consumed by negativity and frustration that they miss out on all the good that comes from the Father. When I hear people complain constantly, what I hear is, I have forgotten what God has done. I hear what Israel went through. I have forgotten what God has done. God has done miracles in my life, but I don't care anymore, or I've forgotten about them. The first complaint in Scripture was Adam. That woman you put here. That woman you put here with me, she gave me the apple. Complaint and handballing a problem to somebody else. Yeah, because you don't have free will. She held you down and made you eat that thing. Sure she did. And then Moses told the Lord of Israel's continued complaints. But as believers, we're challenged in Scripture not to grumble and complain. Philippians 2:14, do all things. Oh man, he didn't mean all things. He meant some of the things. That's what he meant. All right, so do some things without complaining. Amazing when Scripture's too specific. It's frustrating. Anyone just feel like complaining about that right now? Right? Do everything. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Interesting that you're in a crooked and twisted generation, which I know some of y'all feel like that these days. Well, you know what Scripture says to do? Stuff without complaining and grumbling in the middle of that. Among whom you will shine like lights in the world. Because you're not grumbling and complaining about everyone and everything. And that's going to make you shine like lights in the world. 1 Peter 4:9. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hey, we're going to have some people over for dinner. But complain about it the whole time before and afterwards. Show hospitality to one another. Come on, it's time to celebrate. Church, it's time to celebrate, amen? The time for grumbling and complaining has come to an end. I'm here to announce to you right now, I'm the announcer today. Are you ready? The time for grumbling and complaining has come to an end. It's not ending tomorrow. It ended today. You walked in the doors and it ended the moment you walked in the door. Don't walk out of here complaining about the sermon about complaining. Walk out of here inspired to celebrate. Amen. The time for complaining has ended and the time for celebrating, rejoicing, believing God for more has begun. All right? It has begun right now. Amen. Now, you might be like, but there are things in my life that aren't good. Fine. Talk to God about them. Talk to somebody about them. Don't announce them to the world all day on Facebook. Ask and believe God for more, for deliverance, for power, for strength, for blessing, for favor, for a sorted out moment where you get to this moment and all of a sudden you look at it and you go, man, I don't even know what the problem was last week. It seems so simple now when you come to the Lord. Come on, what are we celebrating? Life. That is a gift from God. He wants you to enjoy it. Don't insult Him by complaining about it. Joy. That is based on God's permanent love, not temporary experience. Peace that Christ can give you in the middle of the worst of times. And hope that never runs dry. We celebrate our wives, men. And ladies, celebrate your husbands. Yes? Good, Vanessa. Yes? Come. I heard some amens when I said we celebrate our wives, but come on, ladies. Come on, join me with this, all right? Men, we celebrate our wives, yes? Ladies, we celebrate our husbands, yes? There we go. We're in it together now. Celebrate your children. Come on now. I have some of the craziest kids on the planet. And I celebrate them. I celebrate they're crazy. Another thing, y'all woke up today, most of you. You woke up today. Rejoice. Rejoice. I'll rejoice with you. If you don't want to rejoice and celebrate that you're alive, I'm celebrating that you're alive. I'm glad you're alive. Praise God. James 1:17, as the band comes back up. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Is that word light again? Man, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Lord, change my attitude before it's too late. Amen. God, change my attitude before my friends don't want to be around me anymore. Change my attitude, Lord God, before people stop listening to my sermons, before people stop waving as they drive past, before people stop saying, how are you? Because my answer is always, have you got an hour? God, change my attitude before it's too late. Would you all stand up? I've got a challenge for you, and y'all are going to love it. Y'all. I love y'all. It's my favorite American word. Actually, that and jeet yet. Jed taught me that. Jeet yet. Did you eat yet? Yantu. Yantu. Y'all, I got a great challenge for y'all. Are you ready for it? Now, I know I pick on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and I use them and I love them. The reason I talk about them is because it is sad. This statement is sad, actually, that the bulk of our communication is now done on social media. Right? Which means that the majority of our relationships are online, are virtual. Because relationships or communication, conversation is not part of relationships. Conversation is the relationship. Communication is the relationship. Which means if most of our communication is online now, most of our relationships are online. And so let's talk about that. So that's why the challenge is an online challenge for you all. And if you're not online, then use your words instead. But I want to challenge you to celebrate this week. Just 1 week, 7 days. It's all good, 7 days. And you know what? Maybe you've got a cell phone. Maybe you can hashtag in your text messages to somebody once a day, all right? Just once a day. I want to challenge you to do your level best. You're going to need to ask God, and you know you are, to help you not complain about anything online this week. Not a thing. Not one. But I don't want that mean, like, imagine this. Like, if I can't complain this week, then I'll have nothing to write on Facebook. That's super sad. Like, super sad. People are like, I haven't heard from you in a week. Because, well, I'm not allowed to complain. People are like, huh. Wow. Replace it with something to celebrate, all right? And I want you to use the hashtag, the celebrate challenge. Are you ready? Hashtag, the celebrate challenge. And so this week, every day, I just want you to celebrate stuff, all right? Just celebrate stuff. Just find something good. If there's one particular person that you shouldn't, but you do hate more than anybody else, I dare you to celebrate something about that person this week. Just once. Just celebrate that person once, all right? And the rest of your time, choose to celebrate. Every day, all day. And if you mess up, just go back and delete it an hour later and be like, snap. Just delete it. I do it all the time. I write Facebook posts, and then I'm like about to hit send. I'm like, nah, I'll lose 50 members. Delete. I do it. You can do it too. Just delete it before you press post, or write it out if you need to, and then be like, nah, I don't want to be known for this, right? I want to be a celebrator. See, you can live with hope and live a life of celebration, or you can live a life of pain and complaint.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.